Today is the 16th July, 2024, Tuesday class. So as usual, we will be sharing from this book, the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. We are at volume 4, chapter 3 of Master Shen Hua's commentary, on page 599. Let us now compose our mind. Develop the sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo bun si si chia mo ni fo. Namo bun si si chia mo ni fo. Namo bun si si chia mo ni fo. Namo guan si in pu sa. Namo guan si in pu sa. Namo guan si in pu sa. Namo amitofo.Namo Amitofo, Namo Amitofo, Namo Milofo, Namo Milofo, Namo Milofo, Namo Pusen Pusa, Namo Pusen Pusa, Namo Pusen Pusa, Namo Tisang Wang Pusa, Namo Tisang Wang Pusa, Namo Tisang Wang Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa.那么佛菩萨，那么佛菩萨，阿拉汉萨玛萨布多巴嘎瓦，布当巴嘎万当阿比瓦迪米，娑迦多巴嘎瓦达达摩。Dhammang Namassami Supatipano Bhagavato Sakasango Sanghang Namami Namo Atasa BhagavatoArahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Buddhang Saranang GacchamiDhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami,Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang SamadhiyamiAdina dana viramani sikkha padang samadhiyami Kamesu michachara viramani sikkha padang samadhiyami Musawada viramani sikkha padang samadhiyamiSura Miraya Majapama Dattana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami We shall continue our puja chanting from Padipa Puja onward. Ganna Sarapa Ditena Dipena Tamadang Sina Diloka Dipang SambuddhangPujayami tamonudhang Ganda sambara yutena Dupenahang sugang hina Pujaye pujaniyang tang Puja bajana mutamang วันนกันดากุโนเปตังเอตังกสุมาสันทตินปูจายามิโมนินดาสสิริปาดาสโรโรเหปูเจมิบดังกสุมัยอานินาปุณเณนามเตนะเจโหตุโมคังปูปังเมลายติยตาอิดังเมกายโยตตายติวินาสบาวังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปานิยังปริกาปิตังอนุคัมพังอุปาดายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปาเลปาริกาพิทังอนุคัมพังอุปาดายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตโบจานังปาริกาพิทังอนุคัมพังอุปาดายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมัง Now we shall make our puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the defilements, fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of saddha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer of merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Tripuja. Vedang Puja. Damang Puja. Sanghang Puja. Just relax body and mind and maintain some form of inner awareness. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Then allow whatever that arises within your six sense door to arise. Do not follow it. Just maintain awareness within. Whatever arise, at whatever sense basis, aware. Finish. Then let this inner awareness stabilize. Whatever sankhara activity or movement that has not settled down because of your inability to maintain heedfulness in the midst of life. Just let it be. Don't be afraid. Let the movement continue. But if you don't feed it with any more thought energy, you don't go and worry about it or get yourself involved in its movement and activity. So when you are no longer deceived by it or deluded by it, then it will naturally slow down and cease. Well, all this mind state or sankhara activity, they arise due to avijja, due to causes and conditions. They are dependent originating, condition arising. When the causes cease to be, they will cease to be. So when you don't give it any more meaning, you just relax into it and maintain awareness. They will slow down and finally cease. You must, within that silence, observe that cessation of thought process, or what we call the thinking, the sankhara activity or movement. So this cessation of thought process is not the cessation of form and mind yet. It is just the initial cessation of sankhara activity. Then everything will return to its original state of pure awareness without thought, without sankhara activity, without the mundane thought process, thinking or stirring. That is your true nature, your true awareness nature, your true mind, your silent inner awareness, your meditative mind. This is the mind that can develop wisdom, that can awaken and develop the understanding. So maintain the inner peace, inner calmness and inner awareness. Do not stir unnecessarily. Yeah. Whatever arises at the senses, there is this natural contact. Upon contact, consciousness come to be. Then if there is no delusion, sankhara activity will not move. That's why avijja, ignorant delusion, or conditioned thinking or sankhara activity, thought process. But when there is vijja, there is no first dueling of avijja paccaya sankhara. That's how your mind returns to its original state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That is your true mind, your silent mind. So realize that, stabilize that, and use that to develop the pure seeing, the direct seeing, and use it to meditate, means to observe. The silent observation of what is will give rise to wisdom. The silent mind that can insight into phenomena and awaken, that is the meditative wisdom that can arise. So that silent mind can allow you to see things as they are. That can allow you to observe, to develop the wisdom. That can enable you to insight into phenomena and awaken. The nature that insight realizes the truth. But there is no being inside. Nobody inside. It's just that nature that is capable of developing all this understanding and awakening. And when it arises, the form and mind that is responsible for this arising will understand what this thing is, because that form and mind is your vehicle and tool for you to come to this existential world. That karmically conditioned form and mind, that is the one that can develop the understanding. Yeah. Once the understanding or wisdom is connected from your nature's awakening to this form of mind, then this form of mind is no longer deluded. And because it's no longer deluded, there is no more avijja. That's why it has this wisdom to protect it from attachment, clinging, grasping, via delusion, and ignorance. And because of that, there is no more entanglement, no more suffering, no more problem with living life, with understanding life, with everything that arises within life, within existence. Then whatever arises within the sixth sense door, everything will be perceived in accordance with the understanding. You can see things as they are and have clear understanding of the reality of what is. Then all of the Buddha's teaching become clear to you. This is how we develop this awareness-based meditation. So now I will let you meditate on your own. Remember the four support for awareness-based meditation. First is relax. Relax into every mind state that arises. Just aware. Finish. Then, maintaining awareness is not easy. To maintain awareness, you need patience, you need wisdom, you need faith, you need the spiritual faculty of saddha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya. All these five spiritual faculty, when they become very stable and unshakable, means balance. Your meditative mind state will be unwavering. You will be in the state of heedfulness all the time, ever mindful, constantly meditative. So cultivator of the way who have this ability to be in the state of heedfulness, they will realize the supreme born-free Nibbana as per Dhammapada verse 23 proclaimed by the Buddha. Yeah. So strive on with heedfulness, that advice by the Buddha after his just before his parinibbana is very important. Apamadena sampadeda. So all these are the understanding that you will develop as you progress along the path of Dhamma. You can slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the meditative mind state that you need to use it to live life, to stabilize your daily mindfulness until you are heedful most of the time throughout the day. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the king of sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chiyakawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadam Dhamma Sabran Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Sabran Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Sabran Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Iti pe so bhagava arahaṃ sammā sambuddho vicacarana sampanno sugato lokavidu anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanaṃ Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditabho Vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Samichipatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Yadidang chattari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato sakkasangho Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkineyo Anjali karaneyo Anuttarang punyang ketang lokasati Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we shall continue from where we stopped. We are at page 599 of this Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta, Volume 4, Chapter 3, a parable by Master Xuan Hua, the late Venerable Master Xuan Hua. Okay, I will read on. This one is the commentary part. It happened that when King Saka and his Asura wife got married, he invited the Asura king to the feast. To show his respect, King Saka had his heavenly troop lined up on two sides. However, the Asura king was suspicious and thought, "Are you showing off your power and trying to intimidate me?" He did not know that this was a gesture of respect on King Saka's part. Full of suspicion, he left with displeasure. Now his daughter was telling him about how terrible King Saka was. So he mobilized his army to wage war with King Saka. Despite the fact that Saka had many troops, he lost every battle with the Asura. He went to seek the help from Sakyamuni Buddha and said, "The Asura are rebelling against me and are about to destroy my heavenly palace. What should I do?" Sakyamuni Buddha said, "That's easy. Go back and tell your troop to recite Mahapragna Paramita, means the great wisdom paramita, means perfection of wisdom parita. Reciting this will give them great wisdom. With great wisdom, they will be unable to defeat the Asura. Oh, sorry, they will be able to defeat the Asura. Okay, who are deluded beings. So I think King Sakka went back and told his troops to recite Maha Prajna Paramita. As soon as they did so, the Asura began to lose every single battle, and King Sakka kept his position as the king of the heavens. The Asura also means without wine. The Asuras in the heaven have heavenly bliss, but lack heavenly authority, so they do not have access to wine. If they did, their temper would be even more fierce. Since they have no wine, although they are hostile, it is not as bad as it might be. Asura love to fight and make war. The Asura in the heavens fight with the heavenly troops. The Asuras among human beings fight in the national armies. Animal Asura are, for example, aggressive horses. Horses are usually quite docile and graze together in harmony. An aggressive horse, an Asura horse, does nothing but bully the other horse and hurt them. There are also aggressive Asura among other kinds of animals. There are also Asura ghosts who specialize in hurting people. In general, these Asura have huge temper. Their temples are like the exploding firecrackers in Chinatown during Chinese New Year celebration. With a tiny speck of fire, they explode right away. This is Asura behavior. If you want to be an Asura, just imitate the firecrackers. If you would rather be a Bodhisattva than an Asura, do not be like the firecrackers. So in the five destiny, the destiny of the gods alone is divided into many different levels with diverse categories. Among humans, there are the rich and noble, poor and lowly citizens, officials of different levels, soldiers and police officers. There are tremendous diversity too. Some people are very poor, while others are extremely wealthy. Some are born very handsome, while others are born as ugly as the Asura. Some have no eye, some have no nose, some are mute, deaf, or blind. There are many kinds of people, and they speak different languages. Some people are very intelligent. We might hear people say, "He is as intelligent as a ghost." But although ghosts have some intelligence, they belong to the yin energy. Intelligent people are like spirits. It is said, the intelligent and righteous are spirits. It is also said, Lord Cao was as crafty as a ghost, while Emperor Yao was as wise as a spirit. Lord Cao was indeed intelligent, but he was as crafty as a ghost, while Emperor Yao was as wise as a spirit. Some people are intelligent, while others are remarkably slow-witted. You look at the note. So Lord Cao is Cao Cao. He actually was around during AD 155 to 220. A chancellor of the Eastern Han dynasty, who in the Three Kingdoms period laid the foundation for the future state of Cao Wei. Then the number 6 note for Emperor Yao is a legendary Chinese king, also known as Tang Yao. Traditionally, during 2356, BC, this is very long ago, 2255 until 2255, BC, before Christ. Okay, then I read on. For example, we have two individuals here listening to the Dhamma who are very intelligent and have good memories. One is Guo Qian. The other is Guo Yi. They were the first two who learned to recite the Surangama mantra by heart. Later on, there were some others such as Guo Xuan, Guo Zun, who also memorized the Surangama Sutta and can recite it by heart. It usually takes 6 months to memorize the Surangama mantra. These two Dhamma masters who came to visit here need to look at the book as they recite. It's not easy to memorize. It's quite inconceivable that now there are some Westerners who can recite it from memory. In addition, when Guo Qian gave a Dhamma talk last night, although he did not use any notes and spoke whatever came to mind, his talk was quite good and well structured. Therefore, I will now announce that this Friday, Upasaka Guo Zhang and Dhamma Master Guo Ning will be giving lecture. Since you are explaining Dhamma, you may be addressed as Dhamma Master or Samanera. Why? Because you have been Samanera for a couple of months and you should get a new title. Dhamma Master Guo Ning and Guo Qian and Guo Xian, all three of you should be united as one. When one of you make a mistake, it will be considered the fault of all three. When one of you have shortcoming, the other two should take the blame as well. You should all get rid of your temper. These rules that I have established in the past are most helpful for you. Starting today, all three of you are promoted to become Dhamma Master. The other thing that I need to explain to you is all those who take refuge under Master Xianhua is given a new name. And the new name is very easy. Whatever your name is, the center one, you just replace it with Guo. Just like mine is Zhang Jian Kun, become Zhang Guo Kun. So Guo is what they call fruition, fruit, Kai Guo. So everybody, when you change your name, there is a fruition in the center of your name. So here, all the Guo Ning, Guo Zhang, Guo what, must be the disciple of Xianhua. Then Master Xianhua continued. This Friday, Dhamma Master Guo Ning and Guo Zhang will lecture on the Surangama Sutta. They do a much better job than I do. Why? So Xianhua explained why. He said, because I speak Mandarin and they speak English, which is much easier for you to understand. Therefore, on Friday, you should attend the Dhamma lecture. If you have time, do not miss this opportunity. I usually come too, but sometimes I may be absent if I need to attend to some other issues. However, I can be absent because I have heard all of it before. They learn it from me, and I do not need to hear it again. Do not compare yourself with me and think, since the master is not here, I can take leave too. This is not allowed because you have to investigate the Buddha Dhamma. I am not trying to show off my seniority and experience in learning the Buddha Dhamma. I have been learning it for a few decades. You have studied Buddhism for less than 2 years, so you should not be lazy. Guo Qian's lecture or Dhamma talk last night was excellent and illustrated the saying, only the student can be a valedictorian, not the teacher. What is the meaning of this valedictorian?
student who has the highest marks in their class when they graduate from school,
Oh,
college, university.
yeah. The meaning is the student with the highest mark in the class. So I think Xuan Hua is correct, but he's not a student. Is it not a teacher? Only the student can become a valedictorian, means the one that is with the highest mark in the class. He did surpass his teacher. He spoke about the five periods in great detail and very well. Kuoti did an even better job. Why? Kuoti has extensive insight and deep prajna. Prajna is wisdom. Starting from next Saturday, he will be lecturing on the Vajra Sutta. Vajra Sutta is the Diamond Sutta. The Heart Sutta say, cultivating the profound prajna paramita. The Vajra Sutta has deep prajna because Kuoti investigates deeply. His talk will be profound too. This opportunity is truly inconceivable. When I listened to a lecture last night, the more I heard, the more I like it, and the more I want to hear or listen. Therefore, you should not miss this chance to hear the lecture. These were the lectures given on Friday and Saturday. On Thursday, Kwa Sun did an even better job in lecturing on the Earth-style Bodhisattva, the Sutra of Felabhaiti, or filial respect. Kwa Siu also did a very good job lecturing the Surangama Sutta. Her lectures are full of flavor, almost like the flavor of ghee of the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. When Kwa Zun lectured on the Earth-style Bodhisattva Sutta on Thursday, even the ghosts kneel to listen. If you don't believe me, you can ask Kuo Ti if this is true. Since the ghosts kneel to listen to the lecture, we humans should definitely listen as well. Do not miss this opportunity. Every week we spend 3 evenings investigating the Buddha Dhamma. On Sunday, Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday night, I will try my best to lecture to you. It is rather pathetic that you say that. You like to hear my lecture, for none of you understand a word of what I said. Although the translator gets the basic meaning across, the news is a little bit off, and it doesn't sound as vivid. So you all should. Since you all like to listen to my talk, even though I did not speak well, you should definitely come listen to the people who speak well. If instead of listening to lecture given in English, you want to listen to lecture in Mandarin, then you have to learn Mandarin. Today, I issue an order to Kwa Zun. What was it? 1 year from today, he will have to be the translator. He said he would do his best, and I believe that he can make it. In general, there are many kinds of people. You all know there are many kinds of animals, so there is no need to explain all this. There are quite a few hungry ghosts as well. Although you might not have been hungry ghosts before, as practitioner of the Buddha Dhamma, you should know about hungry ghosts. Hungry ghosts have nothing to eat. They look for food all day long, but never find any. Why are they hungry ghosts? When they were people, they were greedy for food. They ate too much. So as ghosts, they have nothing to eat. There were 500 people dwelling in the big house. This one is the Sutapat, which represent the three rhyme like I explained in our previous Tuesday class. The central rhyme or the rhyme of the desire. Then we have the form rhyme and the formless rhyme. They call it the three rhymes, sanjie. I referred earlier to the saying, the three rhyme hold no peace. As explained before, there's a lot of delusion within the three rhyme, a lot of suffering, misunderstanding, chaos, war, conflict. So the three rhyme hold no peace. They are like a burning house, means a very chaotic existential world. Okay, move it out. The word like indicates that the burning house is just an analogy. But now the Dharma Flower Sutta say that the house has already caught on fire. It actually is a burning house. You have not escaped from the burning house yet. You are still living in it. Think about it. Is it not dangerous? Think it over. I need not say too much about it. Let us now discuss another question. Why are some people intelligent and others slow-witted? Those who are intelligent have recited many suttas and studied the Buddha Dharma. They may also have sponsored the printing of many suttas or sutras. Those who are slow-witted have not recited the sutra, studied the Buddha Dharma, or sponsored the printing of the sutras. Therefore, they grew dull, duller and duller in life after life. On the other hand, people who print sutra become more and more intelligent in life after life. The two disciples I mentioned earlier, who have very good memories, probably read many sutras in their previous life. Furthermore, they must have great affinity with the Surangama Sutra and the Dharma Flower Sutra. Thus, no one should be jealous of them because of their intelligence. The more jealous you are, the more dull-witted you will become. If you are jealous of smart people or wise people, you will become stupid yourself. Why? Wise and intelligent people become wise and intelligent by planting blessings. On the other hand, stupid people do not cultivate blessings or praying sutras. So they end up dull-witted. When printing sutra, we shouldn't just print one sutra, but many different ones. If you want to be more intelligent, you should try your best to help print sutra. So here, help print sutra, the meaning is very wide, very deep. It is not just helping to print, helping to even prepare the sutra, help in the transcript, translation, typesetting, and also in the what they call in whatever way that you can contribute to enable this sutra to be printed. But I must qualify one thing, because at one stage I realized a lot of people, when they hear this, they become so enthusiastic. When you say print Dhamma book for free, they very happy. They started generously donating and doing all those things. But one word of caution, you also need to have some form of understanding. Do not be gullible. Just because you think it's a Dhamma book, a sutra book, you go and develop the enthusiasm to partake. I mean, the sincerity and the faith is very good. But when that so-called book may not be the proper Dhamma, then you have to be careful. It has its karmic repercussion. So don't be too eager to do all this without the Dhamma understanding. When you don't have the understanding, refrain from doing any of this until you yourself are quite sure. That is my advice. But initially, you just want to partake, no harm. You just donate whatever or do whatever. But don't go and give it too much promotion or propaganda before you yourself understand what these things are. If you are not sure, just refrain. Don't go all out to promote and do all this. Otherwise, it has this severe karmic consequence. Where in future, you will reap what you sow. You promote the Dhamma that is not the authentic one. You will end up coming back to those teachings. And you continue to receive those teachings. Yeah, that is what you do. You reap what you sow. So, having some form of understanding before you really go all out to share all this and do all this is very important, okay? So that part, just make a note. But no harm in rejoicing, helping out in whatever way, but don't go and simply promote before you understand what these teachings are. When you are sure, no problem. Well and good. But no need to like those people like doing it like salesmanship. Go and promote until like glorify that thing and all those things. No need. Let things be. Those who have affinity, they will receive. And if there's condition to share a bit, just share whatever you know. No harm. Okay, I will continue. Give it some thought and do the best you can. This is good advice. So here, Xuan Hua explained very good. However, don't force yourself if you can't afford to do so. See, if you don't have the means to contribute, maybe financially, you don't have to. You can contribute in other way. In fact, contribution, they call it the gift of truth. You understand what is the gift of truth, isn't it? It's also one of the meritorious action. So the gift of truth can be performed in many ways. Once you have developed the understanding and the faith, then you can actually share this with people if you have the means to develop the understanding, the stability of it. Then you can do that part, the gift of truth. Then the other one is to help let people know that there is such maybe a well practiced cultivator of the way, or a wise Dhamma practitioner, or a properly well trained bhikkhu, or order of the Sangha. They are here to deliver Dhamma talk or what. So help in the organization and all those things is also the gift of truth. Where you have to make this known to more people that help to organize and arrange all this. And you don't have to involve yourself financially. Then sometimes the printing of the book also, if you happen to have the condition to be an active person who is selected to do the sutra translation or transcript, then the whole process of getting it checked and certified and finalized and help in getting the printer and all those things, all this can also contribute to that meritorious action of the gift of truth. And all this can be done without having to come out with any financial support or donation and all those things. But you can afford, have the means, no harm. So here, like Xuan Hua say, however, don't force yourself if you can't afford to do so. Things should be done naturally. This is the true understanding. Let things be. When there is condition, manifest. The other one is done naturally, happily, and willingly. These are good advice. Give it some thought and do the best you can. If you want to be intelligent, here's a print more. Means print, help to print more of this, the right Dhamma or Sutra. They are the authentic genuine Sutra. If you want to be slow-witted and know nothing at all, then you don't have to take part in all this. Then we go to the next part of the Sutra. The Sutra. The outline is analogy of the burning house, fire breaking out. Then you got two parts, describing the burning house first, then describing the fire burning breaking out. Okay, the Sutta say, its hall and chambers are decaying and old, its wall are crumbling, the pillars are rotting at their base, the beams and ridge pole are in danger of collapse. Means when the house get burned, this is how it can collapse. The roof truss all get destroyed, and the house is very old, decaying and burning. Then the wall can actually give way, that's why crumbling down. Then even the supporting columns or pillar, they call it in ancient China time, they are rotting at their base, means they are no longer able to deliver the structural strength, especially the beams and the ridge pole after being burned by the fire, they will give way. Okay, commentaries. Inside this big house, its halls and chamber are decaying and old. In the analogy of the three rhyme, the halls represent the desire, the rhyme of the sensual rhyme or desire rhyme, while the chamber representing the rhyme of the form rhyme, rupa loka, and the formless rhyme, arupa loka. With respect to each of us individually, the hall represents the lower part of the human body, whereas the chamber represents the upper part of the body and the head. Decaying represents the corruption, evil, and impermanence of the three rhyme. Beings are revolving continuously in the three rhymes. Sometimes things may be good, but they never last. Things will eventually decay. O means the three rhyme were not created just now. They have existed for a long time. Its walls are crumbling, means in building houses, we need to build walls. There are walls in the three rhyme as well. What are they? They are the four elements: water, earth element, fire, and wind element, which are represented by the walls of the four sides of the houses. The four walls can also represent wine, sensuality, wealth, and anger. They are like the four locks that imprison living being. The following verse describes this. Wine, sensual pleasure, wealth, and anger are the four walls enclosing many living beings. By leaping over this wall, one becomes an ageless king with eternal life. So what here they try to explain to living being is, you see, within our existential world, especially the sensual rhyme, I think in Mandarin the meaning come out very well. Jiu se cai qi, correct? So human beings that are heedless and deluded They are actually trapped in. So here, wine is the expression of the olden day when they had this feast or whatever. They will have this celebration. They will drink wine. And most of these people, they enjoy the wine in the it can be restaurant or the place where they womanize and do all those funny things, see all the show and all those things. Then after wine is the desire of the senses, especially pleasure. Pleasure can come in many forms. Sensual pleasure can include the food, the desire for pleasure, the what they call craving for good food, good music, then good entertainment, then the good materialistic thing that living being attached and cling onto, especially nowadays, is money or wealth in the olden day. So they can fight, become aggressive, full of what they call covetousness, grief, craving, desire. And when they want to own this or have all this, they become aggressive and some kind unscrupulous. That's why a lot of war, a lot of what they call robbery. Then during war, a lot of things happen. Then it also comes with anger. So they actually list these four things, which are the major part of the sensual world. So wine in the olden day is the first one. Then sensual pleasure or craving or desire, they are the second one. Then the third one is, of course, craving for the wealth, for power, for authority, to be the king, to enjoy all this. Then, of course, the other one that went from the evil root of anger and hatred is anger itself. Okay, we go back to the sutta. So according to the sutta, the poem say, wine, sensual craving or desire or pleasure, wealth and anger are the four walls. They are the analogy. They actually obscure or enclosing many living beings. So they delude you, make you gullible. And through this desire or craving, through your own delusion, not understanding that they are not real, impermanent, they lead to karmic negativity and downfall. You don't understand what they are. You crave for it, desire it, until you lost your way. When you do all this through evil ways, means arising the greed, hatred, and greed, hatred, and delusion, then all these four become very powerful. They will really cause living beings to go the wrong way. Then karmically, you will be entangled. And through all this entanglement, karmic negativity will set in. Then suffering will be the result. So here he said, wine, sensual desire or pleasure or craving, wealth and anger are the four walls enclosing living beings, many living beings. Unless you can leap over this wall, means see the reality of reality and danger of these four things by leaping over them, these four walls, then you can never develop the wisdom to free yourself. But you can do it. You say, one becomes an ageless king, means eternal life. You won't get old, you're going to get sick, and you won't die. So here, one becomes an ageless king with eternal life. So our body are like this tree running. The wall are like our flesh and skin crumbling. Means there is no place in the three realms, because it's a conditioned world where the universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering, state, and non-self, anicchang, dukkang, anatta, are manifested in all phenomena. This is just like our body, which will soon decay, fall sick, go through injury, and finally die. Yeah. That's why he experienced old age, sickness, injury, and death. Then the pillar are rotting at their base, means our lives are like the pillar. You could also say that our two legs are the pillar. The pillars are rotting, means they are in great danger and about to break down. This line explains the three realms hold no peace. They are like a burning house. The situation will soon be very dangerous. Our life will soon be over. So like the burning house, if you don't leap out of it or come out of it, sooner or later, you will be trapped inside and you will suffocate because the smoke, the intense heat will destroy all the components in the house, especially when the roof truss, when the ceiling, everything, when the wall all starts collapse, even the what they call things that are burning inside, they will actually create a very, very severe, dangerous condition within. Then the next part of the sutta say the beams, the ridge pole, are in danger of collapse. Means the roof is supported by the roof truss, especially the ridge pole. All these roof truss, they actually are supported by the ridge pole, the top piece. Once that one collapse, all the rafter will collapse. Then with the raging fire, the beam will all burn and also give way. So the beams and ridge pole are analogous to our cognitive consciousness. In terms of our human body, the spine can be like the beam or the ridge pole, is the main, and our spinal cord protect the central nervous system, our spine. So this is the one, it's like the ridge pole. Yeah, when this one collapses, the whole roof will give way. So in danger of collapse is the most critical part. It can be very dangerous when our thoughts are constantly moving and changing. This refers to our mundane mind, the heedless thinking mind. That's why in the Mahayana Sutta, they always say you have to understand these two very important verses. Qi xing dong nian. When you arise, the mind, which is the mundane mind, the thinking mind, means it creates sankara activity, thinking. Dong nian means it starts moving the thought process. When you don't arise the mind, there is no movement. That's why wu nian qiu shi zhen xin. If you understand that, then you can meditate very well and you can develop the what they call awareness-based meditation to realize the true mind very easily. Wu nian is without thought. That is your true mind. Wu nian jiu shi zhen xin. Because this awareness nature was there. It was the primordial nature before the form and mind arise, before the thought process arise, before the heedless thinking, sankara activity arise. We are from that nature, all things arise. So when you understand that wu nian means without this sankara activity or thought, that is your original state, true mind. That's why the awareness-based meditation, the four support will help you relax, maintain awareness, so that whatever sankara activity, they will slow down and cease to be. They will return to the original state before the stirring, before the thinking, before the reaction to sense experience. That is your true nature. You only need to relax, maintain awareness, and let everything settle down and return to its original state. Then you will realize the true mind. That's why wu nian shi zhen xin. That one is full of wisdom. And Po Yan Zhang Lao shared this with their student. And Miss Lee came and asked me about 12 years ago, I think, during the Heart Sutta class sharing at Wu Bing Jingzi. I said, this is beautiful, full of wisdom. Then I explained to her. Then I also explained in the class. So understanding this can give you the understanding to break through, to realize your true mind very easily. And this thinking, they will cease. So here, Xuan Hua also mentioned, in danger of collapse is the most critical part, means that ridge pole or your spinal cord, that main, what they call component. It can be very dangerous when our thoughts are constantly moving and changing, means sankara activity. That's why avijja paccaya sankara, the first two links. When you have ignorant avijja, sankara activity constantly moving and changing. This line also means the birth and death of the thought process, the outflow. It also means the moment of death has come. That's the great meaning of this passage. The continuity of samsara activity is the outflow, birth and death of this thought process, the mundane thinking. That's why the Buddha said, this mundane mind, mano, is the forerunner of all things. And this mind is chief. Because when mind arises, this mundane thinking, all things arise. Just like the saying goes, 一切一切唯心造. Mind make adi. Everything arises from the mind. So when mind arises, if you are heedless, it will give rise to all the greed, hatred, and delusion that will condition your karmic negativity and downfall. So you act, speak, and think with a heedless mind, with an unwholesome mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, that suffering will follow you. Like the wheel that follow the hoof of the cart. So all these are very straightforward, very clear. So if you have that understanding of the danger of heedless thinking, then you will train yourself to be heedful, to be mindful, to be aware. Yeah, that is your true mind. That true mind is the one that can make you conscious, aware, so that you are not heedless, so that you can be in the state of heedfulness all the time while living life. And when you are heedful, you will act, speak, and think with a heedful mind that is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That happiness will follow you like your shadow that never leaves you. And these are the Dhammapada verses 1 and 2, the twin verse, the opening statement of the Dhammapada verses. And this twin verse clearly define to living beings how you should live your life. If you choose to be heedless, then nobody can help you. Suffering will follow you. Then no need to train your mind, no need to do anything. No need to be heedful. Continue to be heedless. Continue to do the thing that your senses or your desire, desire for you. All of your craving, attachment, clinging, grasping, anger, hatred, delusion. That's why you entangle your mundane mind with all this activity of covetousness, craving, desire, selfishness, greediness, then anger, hatred, violence, jealousy, envy, then all of your what they call fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, the three evils, they continuously manifest. That's how living beings entangle themselves and develop suffering following Dhammapada verse 1. Because you lack mindfulness, you lack heedfulness, you lack the Dhamma understanding of what constitutes evil. You fail to understand that the three evils of greed, hatred and delusion are very damaging and detrimental to your life. And how all this entanglement can bring about karmic negativity and downfall. Whereas if you understand the teaching, like the Buddha mentioned under Dhammapada verse 21 and 22, he said heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die, whereas the heedless are as if dead. That is Dhammapada verse 21. So he said, because of that, he said, the wise one, those who have the wisdom and the understanding, they will intend on heedfulness. Then they will rejoice in the realm of the Arya. Means the Aryas are the enlightened one. They will become the enlightened one. That's why you need to intend on heedfulness. When you intend on heedfulness, means you intend to follow Dhammapada verse 2. Where the heedful never die. So via heedfulness, you are actually able to act, speak and think with a heedful mind that is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. And because of that, happiness will follow you like your shadow that never leaves you. So this is how you choose to live your life. For each and every one of us, we hold the key to our own life destiny. To be happy or to be miserable is entirely our choice. So choose wisely. Choose to be happy. But why are most people in the world unhappy, suffer, miserable? You mean they don't know how to choose? No, because they don't know this teaching. Whoever knows this teaching will definitely know how to choose. It's so clear. One little suffering, entanglement, misery. The other one leads to happiness, joy. Yeah. Then when you are able to do this, then you will realize the enlightenment too. And develop the wisdom to free your mind, to liberate your mind. Then to live the holy life. Yeah. Okay, we go back to the sharing. We have to end already. We are 9:50 already coming to. Okay, I will try to finish off this one. Huh? Upon reading this passage of the text, we should realize that we are not going to live forever. No matter what great talent, what wealth, what riches you may have, when the time comes to die, your two hands will be empty. You will not be able to take anything along with you. In this world, people fight for fame and scramble for profit or selfish reason. That is a very stupid thing to do. You should return to the source and recover your original nature. Recognize the original face. Ah, this statement is very profound. Return to the source means what? But light means more original nature. So this original nature is the true nature that is already there in the very beginning. This one is the Buddha nature, or the oneness nature, or the eternal nature, or some call it the source. Because from here all things arise. That's why they are given different names. Yeah. So here Xuan Hua also knew. He said, return to the source. And realize, here recover means realize your original nature. Recognize the original face. The meaning is the same. What is our original identity like? It is like nothing at all. You remember I told you? Without thought, who are you? When you are in that state, you understand. You are nothing. You are nobody. It is like nothing at all. If it were like something, it would have a mark. If it had a mark, it would be subject to old age, sickness and death, perishing. Yet our inherent nature is neither defiled nor pure. This is from the Heart Sutta. Neither come into being nor cease to be. Neither increase nor decrease. Our original face has no problem whatsoever. Our original face, as is said in the Surangama Sutta, is the Tathagata Gaba, the everlasting true mind, the pure, bright, inherent nature. If you can recover your original face and understand it, then you can transform all of your affliction into Bodhi. If you do not understand your original nature, then you turn Bodhi into affliction. So it is said. So this one is like Xuan Hua like to use this analogy. Is it? Enlightenment and delusion is just the flip of your palm. When you flip over like that, is enlightenment. When you flip over like that, is delusion. And this is affliction. Yeah. But most people like that, they hardly can turn it over. And to flip over is actually only one moment. When you realize the truth, you awaken. It's already there. That's why only wisdom free, nothing else. So here the saying goes, originally there is nothing going on in the world. However, foolish people, fools, stir up trouble for themselves. Like Hui Ning mentioned in his poem, 本来无一物,何处惹尘埃? He said, originally our nature is without anything, empty. Then where does the light, the dust alight? What is dust? Defilement. Born of delusion. All the entanglement. When originally that nature is without anything, not a being, there is nothing, no word, no duality, nothing, cannot talk about, cannot be described. Then how do you get entangled? Because you created another byproduct of that nature, which we call it the samsaric mind, the mundane mind, that continuously create delusion for living being to entangle themselves and continuously take birth and death for eternity while roaming through space and time in samsara. Yeah. That's why that egoic mind become the traveler in space and time. That's how delusion set in. So initially there are no problem, but ignorant people, foolish people, deluded people who have to find something to keep themselves busy creating problems. If you tell them they are acting foolishly, they reply, you are the foolish one. Like I said, the existential world, our sensual, condition arising world, dependent originating world. Through the senses, we experience the world, we come to know the world. And this is how we know the world and interact with the world. And through our senses, we can be deluded and deceived, as if everything is very real, can be owned, can be possessed, as if you are the egoic mind, the personality that can own things, have things, and develop all the emotion, the fear, worry, anxiety, not knowing that they are yours. The greed, hatred, and delusion that condition your attachment, clinging, grasping, and all the entanglement. We are sakayadity, self-delusion. So this is why Shenhua say, you are the foolish one, the heedless one. Why do they say you are foolish? It is because you don't do the thing that they do, and you do not act like them, the wise one. That is why they think you are foolish. Originally, there was no problem, but you created a lot of distraction through your own delusion to keep yourself so busy. If that is not foolishness, then what is it? You have the skill of being able to truly understand your inherent true nature, then the eye sees form, but the mind is empty. The ear hear mundane sound or vibration, but the mind is not affected. This is what in Mandarin they call liu gen qing jing. The six sense bases, they are in stillness because they do not have any more ignorance or delusion. They do not stir anymore. They can see things as they are and remain at peace. Some people see form as form and shape as shape. But for those who understand their original nature or identity, when they see form, there is no form. See shape, there is no shape. Therefore, to them, there is no form, no shape. Do form and sound really exist or not? Someone may see them and say, yeah, they do exist. Another may say, no, they do not. Ultimately, do they exist or not? They do and they do not. If you think they exist, then they exist. If you think they do not exist or they don't exist, they don't exist. That is why it is said everything is created from the mind alone. Each year we sing song. Like I shared with you all earlier. When the passing car within the hearing range, you hear it, perceive it, you say real. But somebody further down cannot hear it. To them, it don't exist. So what is real and what is unreal? Within our six sense basis, based on our limited ability to perceive, we use that to define real and unreal. So anything perceivable by your senses is real. But whatever that is beyond your senses, you say unreal. But other animals or beings that have higher faculty, like the dog, higher frequency out of your range, they can hear. That's why you cannot hear. That's why some of these animals, they are very sensitive. So physics also explain all this to us. Our range of perceptible sense consciousness ability are very limited as a human being. And as we age, the senses fail us. That's why some people have hearing problem as they age, sight problem as they age, smell, taste also arise. So our senses are very limited, actually, fragile. Okay, I think quite a lot more. We better stop here. Everything is created from the mind alone, so we stop here. We are 10 o'clock already. I will mark this page. Oh, we are at page 595. So just now when I started, I think I marked the page wrongly. I told you 599. Actually, when we started, it was only... Oh, 599 is 0, not 599. Now we are at 595. Okay. Now we come back to the second session. I think tonight we got somebody who wants to share something which is very good. He or she benefited from the advice that I gave her last session. Then now her ear problem no more. So let us welcome Sister Elsie to do the sharing. Okay, Elsie, yeah.
Good evening, Brother Teo, Mrs. Teo, and all brothers and sisters in the Dharma. I would like to take this opportunity to thank Brother Teo for his good suggestion. I managed to find a very skillful doctor, ENT, at the end. I went to, actually Alicia give me a reference.
Give you the reference.
From Asunta, from Asunta.
Thompson Hospital, just now you mentioned.
No, it's different.
Oh, different. Asunta.
But that one, I cannot get the appointment because there's no reply from his clinic.
Yeah.
So I managed to get this one from Thompson Hospital.
Thompson Hospital.
Yeah, she's a very skillful doctor, surgeon. Yeah, yeah. She's a surgeon.
Yeah, ENT surgeon. Yeah.
Yeah. So when I see her, then she, because on Friday itself, my pressure was very strong.
Oh, okay.
And I find that my hearing is even getting worse.
Oh,
so when I went to see her, so she asked me to do another test again, hearing test. So then. After that, the hearing test, then she let me see that this hospital also they have a very advanced equipment.
Yeah.
So there's a TV screen for me to see.
Yeah. Very clear.
Very clearly.
They put in the scope. There is a scope where they can put in.
Yes.
So last time I went through one was my nose one. Oh, they magnify the whole thing. In the early years, I had this sinus problem. Then when he checked on me, he said, don't worry, he said. He said, there is this, what they call polyps, before they become cancer. Polyps. So he said, treatable. He said, he used the scope and check. Then after that, he gave me this antibiotic, which is very good. No? What is the name? Right? Augmentin, I think. Oh, Augmentin. He gave me double the normal dose. So. He said, normally you will take 1 week, stop. Yeah. He said, take 1 week, stop for a few days. Continue another 1 week. Well, after that, I completely heal. But very strange, the Augmentin is supposed to be a type of antibiotic that is very powerful. So when I took it, I don't know was because my condition or what, but I think he must have used it before many patients recover. So after I take the thing, I felt what, my whole nose area, the ENT area, the whole of that passage, especially my nose, including my head and my brain, like everything healing very fast. Then after that, I think I don't have problem with sinus anymore. That's how I recovered from that one permanently. Then later on, when I got flu or what, it's no more a problem where I know how to meditate and how to go into that state. That's why that time when you mentioned your ear, since Wu Tai San come back, still cannot heal. I know personally that there are many ENT who can do all this. That's why I asked you to go and seek alternative consultant, ENT specialist or surgeon who can do this. And my brother also actually managed to do one at the government hospital, UKM. HUKM. So mine also was HUKM at that time. That professor was a Dato, but he's an Indian national, yeah, very good specialist. Then my brother one was a Chinese. He, my brother one recently, I think the last 1 or 2 years ago, he recommended operation. Yeah. Nowadays the operation very advanced, very very advanced. But need to pay minimal, I think. If you do it in a specialist center, it will be very costly. But my brother paid only a few hundred, or at the most 1,000, I think, for the machine, for the specialist to do the operation of his nose. And he recovered. And now he's very good. Well, actually at his age, he's 6 years older than me. He actually reluctant to do one. But when he checked with the specialist was very confident. He said, "You don't worry," he said. "Although there are risks, but you don't worry," he said. That's why he allowed him to do. You continue with your explanation, Elsie Sadhu.
Yeah, from the screen, then she say because of the mucus that stick to
behind
my,
the eardrum.
Behind my eardrum.
Eardrum.
All the mucus, all this mucus that cause the pressure.
Yeah.
So she did a small procedure for me. And she put the needles in. And poke the mucus. Make an opening. So then use a suction to
Suck it out.
Actually, it was quite painful. But she did it very fast, within minutes. And she's so skillful.
Yeah, they are very skillful.
Within minutes, she settled. And then immediately, I can... all the pressure gone.
Yeah, gone. Clear up.
All the thing clear up. And I can hear very
clearly. Yeah, very clearly. Like normal. Back to normal.
Back to normal immediately. So...
So
immediately I felt the relief.
That's why we need to understand all these are causes and conditions from the past. When you had the karmic condition, all this can happen. That's why that day, luckily, I think somebody nominated you. Was it Hui Rong? Hui Rong?
Last week.
So when he nominated, he said he don't know what to report. Then later on, he said, I have to report something. Then my nature, because somehow I can sense that the ENT are very good. Because they are the specialists for ear, nose, and throat. That's why it's called ENT specialists. And these three are related one. They are all interconnected one. So any problem with any of these, they are so specialized, the whole physical anatomy, they only specialize on ENT, So they must be really good. And nowadays with the medical science and all those things, that's why specialization has its usefulness and purpose. So what I try to share with you all is, it is meant to be karmically. Then all this can manifest and happen. Because most of the time, actually for Elsie's case, she normally will not share all this health thing and all those things with us unless there is a condition. Then it so happened, she shared. That's why I told her when she came and thanked me before the class started. I said, this is your karmic conditioning. This is how it will happen. Because in the past, we don't know what coming thing that has conditioned all this to arise. So you have to endure since our trip in Wutaisana. We came back 30th, I remember, June. Yeah? We were there for almost 8 days, I think. So 30th June, we come back. Today is 10th of May, end of May, not June, sorry. End of May, 30th May. So today is July 16th. means 1.5 months or more. And he has to endure all this. But maybe he went and see the specialist because of the condition, then the whole thing clear. This is what they call in Mandarin or Cantonese, yi dou guai yan. You know what is guai yan? Gui ren. Means people who can help you. So all these are meant to be. That's why I say when you have the good karmic conditioning, so all these can manifest and actually become a living reality. And this will give you faith in the cultivation of the Buddha Dhamma. Because without all these conditions, this thing cannot arise. Yeah. And sometimes if we don't have the good karma, we will encounter all those, I wouldn't say they are bogus doctors or what. Sometimes they are not so professional and not so skillful. Yeah, maybe in the past, when you were a doctor or what, you were also not so professional and not so skillful. Then you will meet up with those who do the same thing. That's why you will become the victim. But luckily, she don't have that type of negative karmic conditioning. She has the wholesome part. That's why she encounter people who can give her the good advice. Then she also contacted Alicia and maybe other people who can give the advice. It's not easy to find a good specialist, I tell you. You must have that karmic affinity. Then the whole thing clear. And this is what Dhamma is. When you understand all this is possible and it can become a living reality. So sadhu to you, Elsie. Very good. Anything else?
This doctor, actually, I saw her review from Google. So it's highly recommended.
Wow, very good. Sadhu.
So that's why, I see. That's why I wanted to
see. Very good. This Google review is very good. My daughter, they all, even Ben, my son, they always go for all this review. So when you can get one good one, then no harm giving it a try. Last time my heart surgeon that did my 11 years ago, the angioplasty, also my son sent out the SOS. Then finally people refer back, I think 3 specialists, very good. Then he tell me, Daddy, these 3, you choose one. I remember one is from Glen Eagle. Then one is iHeal, the Dr. Wong that did mine. Then there was another one also very good. Then I look at the CV, I say this one. Because before I met one of my Kayamita, very much my senior, I think 10 years older than me. She got a husband that did a lot of NGO one, I think 3 times. So what happened was, the final one, he put in 7 stents. You know what is 7 stents? Normally people put in 1, mine is 2. He put in 7. And he survived. And until now, after so long, he did his before mine. So what happened was, he told me it was a government hospital. But he's a head of, I think that time was UPM or what, I forgot already, Pertanian, that one. Hospital of Pertanian or what. University Hospital of Pertanian, something like that. He was a head there. Then I saw the review. I said, this is the, what they call, affinity. Means, when I saw that, then I read further. Then he was trained in Singapore, Santok Singh Hospital. That hospital is very tough one, not easy to go in on. Oh, you need to go through a lot of... Then he specializes in soft wire. That's why I told my son, okay, choose this one. Then when I met him, meant to be, he's also a Buddhist. He was you there. And I saw on the wall there in the clinic, Ajahn Chah's the what they call you call what? The photo, frame up there. Then I say, hey, you Buddhist? Yeah, he say yes. Oh, I say. So, what you do? He said before I operate, he will purposely go vegetarian that day, before he carry out any operation. Then he will chant the seven factors of enlightenment. Satta Bhujanga. Wow, I say, he got such thing. The doctor told me that. Then after that, we become very good friends. My son also become close to him also. So he was somebody meant to be. That is what I call your karmic nature, your understanding of the Dhamma can bring you the appropriate specialist or people that have that ability to help us. Because when you leave the Dhamma way, when you cultivate the Buddha Dharma, following all this advice of the Buddha, and little or no karmic negativity, then chances of you encountering all these correct people to recover is very high. That's why most kaya metta got no problem. Yeah. And you can check your life. Ever since you go this way, the Dhamma way, your life improved, changed a lot. Yeah. You realize you are like very well protected, blessed, wherever you go, travel or what. Then less suffering, less problem, more inner awareness, more tranquility, clarity. You are more mindful, heedful, aware, and your life is beautiful, good. So this is the result of following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind, to cultivate the Buddha Dharma, go following the Dharma way, which is cultivating noble eightfold path. And then learning the teaching, the Four Noble Truths, the Three Turnings, then from there, the essential Dhamma, then cultivate awareness-based meditation to develop heedfulness. Then you are home, the heedful never die. So these are all the important understanding and pointers. Okay, so tonight, we should thank LC for the good sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, anything else, LC?
Yeah, this time before I went to Wutai San, so it was so strange. So beside the ear problem, so I got another problem, it's my leg problem. I sprained my leg. I didn't even know when did I sprain my leg. So, but it's not that serious. It's just a mild one. But somehow it still give me a bit of like not so normal. So just before I left for Wutai San, then I went to see ENT. I went to see, I seek treatment for my leg as well. So Chai was so worried that I cannot walk in Wutai San because you know like normally all these places.
A lot of climbing and walking.
A lot of walking. So when he told me, how are you going to walk with this kind of situation as well? You don't have to worry. I just keep quiet.
Sadhu.
So it's true enough that we make it through anyway.
Not a problem at all.
You know the strange thing when I came back from Wutai San. So when I went for a walk, normally we go for a walk after our dinner. So suddenly they asked me, "Hey, how come you can walk so fast?"
Like your leg recover,
Because normally, I could hardly lift up my legs, you know. So after I came back, when I walk, I also feel surprised. How come my steps are much faster than normal?
And
it was so light, you know.
Sadhu.
Until now.
Oh, very good. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Oh, very good. You want to continue or nominate somebody?
So having understand Dharma, I think we have less we can accept a lot of things
whenever
there's any situation
correct.
Or anything happen.
Correct. Yes. True
so
understanding.
That is the most important thing.
Yeah.
So we will accept normally with peace of mind.
Yeah, yeah. We will not be like normal people. Worry. Well, no amount of fear, worry, anxiety can help you. Always remember that. Whatever happened, do not panic. Don't go and create the unnecessary fear, worry, anxiety. Silence your mind. Develop the composed mind, clarity. Then, through right view, accept the reality of the moment. Like the Buddha said, whatever arises, there are causes and conditions behind. And what are the causes and conditions? The Buddha said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditions for the welcome. And we are what we are because of karma, the fifth daily contemplation. If that is the case, it must have something to do with the past coming, understand? Or? That's why you have to come to that understanding, that right view, to accept the law of karma. Then don't blame anybody. When you don't blame, means what? You are at peace, understand? Or? Then you don't get angry, unhappy over what happened. Then you don't have to ask the question, why me? And feel miserable over it. Yeah? Why I so sway? Go and follow them and get entangled into all this. There is no such thing as why. The causes and conditions already there. It has to go that way. Like Sui came to know. Everything that manifests, you must embrace it, because this is the reality. This is what already happened due to causes and conditions. You get angry, also no use. You try to resist, also no use. You try to blame, you try to do all those things. It makes you worse. Because none of all those negativity or mind state can be of help to you. It creates more causes and conditions for negative karma to come. That's why I advise my children, even some kayamita, when things don't go your way, don't get angry. Always remember, don't panic, don't fear, don't get angry. Have a clear mind, look at it, accept the reality, then contemplate, reflect. How can I resolve this amicably? How can I resolve this the Dhamma way? Then with that clarity, you will come to understand what happened. So when you know it's coming, you do what you have to do. Understand? Need to ask for forgiveness, repentant, do. Then need to invoke power of merits for turnaround, causes and condition, do. Then need to repent and vow not to commit all these things again by following the advice of the Buddha. Means if you have the Bodhisattva way, everything, then you got no problem. Well, all this is already there. Then when you invoke for causes and condition, for turn around, something will happen. Then you will recover and you will have the good life. So this is how we can resolve things amicably via the Dhamma way without having to incur any unnecessary suffering and misery. Then we can come to terms with whatever happened. The reality, like what LC just now came to know, when you have the Dhamma, you can accept everything. Then when you accept them with faith, with confidence, like her case, before going, the leg already had problem. But after that trip, because of the faith, the sadda, the virya, and the joy, because of the what they call training that we go through, although it's a lot of walking, especially the that 1,000 over step. That training was very good. Then every day we walk, then we also do some short climb and steps. But the Thai Lo Ting one was the toughest. That one is 3 times the height of our Batu Cave in Malaysia. So that was how all of us, although we managed to go up except one or two kayamita, I think, who were quite elderly, and some of them, I think, the leg already not so good, because I think one of them sprained hurt the leg, I think, Raymond. Then there's another lady also sprained the leg or what. So because of that, only they stay back, but the rest went up, and all of us was full of joy, faith. Then the trip was meant to be very beautiful trip, spiritual trip. The food were good, and the thing that happened at the spiritual way place was so beautiful. You can listen to it in the sharing and all those things. And we have all the beautiful photos to remind us of the spiritual trip. And almost all of the spiritual trip that we went, in fact all, end up like meant to be so beautiful. The nature, the weather, everything was so conducive, and even the Dharma protectors, the non-human, the great beings, nature, they are all so beautifully supporting and protecting us and guiding us. And our collective consciousness when we were there was so beautiful. And all of the Dharma sharing, the understanding, and of course the humor and the sharing of the Dhamma and the good food and whatever activity that we had while we were there, they were all so beautiful. Even the guide, they were so beautiful. The bus driver and especially Mr. Linda and the bus driver, they were so exceptionally supportive and beautiful, and they lead us very well, and they also benefited from that trip. A lot of nature's occurrences manifested during those few days at many way places that we went to. So this is what Dhamma is. Hope it can give faith to all the kayamitas, cultivate all the way, who listen to all this sharing, then you all should develop the faith and give it a try, or develop the faith to strive on with faithfulness to cultivate this understanding so that you too can benefit from it. So exactly 10:30, I just hear the alarm. So let us rejoice and end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we shall now share merit, transfer merit, then we will end the whole sharing session. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkhantu lokasasana itta watta chamihi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyati dang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyati dang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyati dang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo devo vasatkalena sasa sampati heto cha hito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully the Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we shall end the whole Zoom session. Sadhu.